I took this morning's sermon title from one of the comments that were made last week when I asked, when you try to pray, what gets in your way? I think it was Bill Pollack who said something about, what's the point? And so here we go. What's the point of praying? Thank you, Bill. So let me begin this morning by reminding you of a couple of images that I suggested last week. This won't remove all the obstacles that make it tough for you to pray when you try to pray, but I do think they'll get us moving forward a little bit. One of the images that I suggested is that if prayer is a conversation with God at all, and I'm not sure it is, but if it is conversation with God, it is the most odd, strange conversation you could ever imagine. Because in normal conversations, if I'm talking to you, I'm here, you're there, and there's back and forth. I speak, you listen, then you speak, and I listen, and that's how it goes. That's not quite how prayer goes. I get this from Romans 8:26, where the Apostle Paul says, when we do not know what to pray for, the Spirit, God's Spirit, intercedes on our behalf with wordless groans or with sighs that are beneath what you can put into language. That's the Apostle Paul's description of what's going on in you, that God's Spirit lives in you at a level deeper than you can imagine, right at the center of who you are. And when you can't even give voice or give language to what you want to pray, you're still praying because God's Spirit is praying in you. So now come back to this image of conversation. It's not me here and God there. God's on both sides of the conversation. Now that's strange, isn't it? God is the one who speaks in me, and God is at the very same time the one to whom I pray. So now this is a very different image. Now I'm the one sandwiched in between the prayer that's always happening in the depths of my life. So prayer happens and you're caught up in it. Now get your heart and head around that a little bit, and that'll change the way you see yourself living through every day. The other image I suggested is that it might be helpful to think about prayer not as something that you do once in a while. You start it, stop it, you start it, stop it here. It might be like this ever gentle flowing river in the depths of your life that's always flowing along in you. It's that river of love and energy and passion and affection and imagination that just makes you who you are. And that, yes, occasionally you wake up to that river flowing in you and you give voice to it. You put it into words. And in the way we prayed, that prayer for illumination says, Lord, help us to give voice to the prayers that are the deepest music of our life. So there's another image, a river or maybe just the music that plays underneath your whole life. So a few other passages of Scripture. Some of you are note takers. I know this, so you can jot these down. I won't spend much time here, but this is from Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. That means there's no time in your life or in your day or in your week when you can't pray, and there's no praying that's out of bounds. You get to pray any way you want with any prayer, kinds of prayer you want, and put it in any words you want if you use words at all. It's a wonderfully permissive invitation. Philippians 4:6-7, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, and that's what Leah was talking to our kids about, always do it with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's okay to ask for what you want. Present your requests to God. You don't have to be timid, you don't have to be shy, you don't have to feel awkward, it doesn't have to be selfish. We talked about that a little bit last week. Sometimes our praying feels selfish. It's okay to pray self-interested prayers. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't say, present your requests to God, and God will always give you what you ask, right? Present your requests to God with boldness, with confidence, and God's peace, which transcends what you can understand. God's peace, which is deeper and bigger than what you even thought to ask for, will guard your hearts and minds, right? So there will be an answer to your prayers, but it might not quite be what you would have drawn up. Lastly, this is Colossians 4:2. Simple and clear, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful. For stay awake, Stay alert to what's going on in you, to what's going on in the world around you, to how other people are doing. So be watchful and be thankful. Be grateful for all the blessings that have come your way. Okay, so what's the point of praying? What I want to suggest, this is, you know, you can argue with me about this, that the point of praying is to get to something like utter honesty. To tell the truth to yourself about yourself. That's the point of praying. And that is much more difficult than it sounds at first glance. It's not easy to be honest when we pray. And last week, a couple of different things that were said when I said what makes it hard to pray. Someone said, I find myself lying to God fairly frequently. When I listen to myself pray, it sounds dishonest. I'm thankful for those comments because that's true for me and true for lots of us. Often when we pray, we are praying about everything about the thing which we should be praying about at that moment. We are evading the central issue at that moment in our lives. We are using prayer to disguise what's really up with us and how we really feel. Faith, and especially a faith that prays, this is a wonderful and powerful thing. The problem is that our praying faith can either become a tool for massive self-deception, or it can become the path to facing the great truth about ourselves. Who we are, what we fear, what we're anxious about, how deeply we're loved, how deeply we need to be loved. So what's the point of praying? This is our question for a few minutes this morning. Is the point of praying to get what you want? Is the point of praying to get you out of pain and misery, to help you avoid the problems that you face? Is the point of praying to get answers, to get clear answers for God, fixed answers about the things which you gave voice to in the register in which you expect them? Now come to our reading from Matthew's gospel, which is Jesus at Gethsemane. When Jesus faces distress, so this is after the last meal with the disciples, this is the last evening of his life, he knows what's coming. This is a period of great distress for him. And when Jesus faces distress, he wants his friends to be with him. He wants his friends to be near him in this difficult hour. It's the final meal and the final night. So he takes his friends, his disciples, to him with Gethsemane. And he takes the closest friends, Peter, James, and John. He takes them even further away from the other disciples. He asks them for their support and their prayers for him in this difficult time because he's afraid, he's worried. But he also invites them not just to be praying for him, but to pray for themselves, which is interesting. In this time of great distress for him, he's not so trapped into thinking about his own issues that he cannot imagine what his friends must be dealing with. So he asks them to pray for themselves. His own pain connects him to others in sympathy and affection, even in his most difficult time. He began to be sorrowful and troubled at this point, we're told in Matthew's gospel. And Jesus says, "My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death." He says this to his friends. So what he's facing is almost too much for a human being to handle. And here we see Jesus clearly in his full humanity. If you ever doubted that he had to face what you face, that he had to bear what you bear, here you get to see him in the depths of who he is, anxious and afraid and wishing more than anything else that he did not have to walk forward into what was in front of him. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground. So I want you to notice that this is not a throwaway line, sort of Matthew the novelist trying to add a little color and texture to the narrative to keep you entertained. I think it's here because it's important. He threw himself face down to the ground. His body and his posture express his prayer. They are what he does with his body, that is his prayer. That's where he wants to be. He couldn't be in any other posture and that be a true and honest prayer. He's facing a situation that threatens his life. He's running out of options. His dreams of some kind of magic fix, of some escape from all this, are disappearing quickly. He's coming to grips with his vulnerability to the people around him who wish him great harm. And so it's natural that his body posture and position match what he's feeling, what's going on in him. Jesus was honest in his praying. We're told in lots of different places in the gospel that he prayed in regular rhythms, that he prayed with his friends, that he prayed on his own, that he took time to rest, that he went to synagogue services and prayed there. All that. We don't have all that many instances where we know exactly what he prayed, but this prayer in Gethsemane is one of those few places where we get to hear him praying. If we have trouble with honesty in our praying, it might be connected to this issue we're talking about, to our bodies. It might be connected to our own failure to let our bodies mirror what we want to pray and need to pray. If your soul is overwhelmed, you may want to fall face down, like he did. But when the situation is different, your body posture should probably match that too. There may be prayers that are best expressed by doing other different things with your body. You might need to go fishing. That might be the perfect posture for your prayer. Or you might need to take a walk. You might need to shoot baskets. That's me. That's good for me. I don't know why. It is. You might need to go for a long drive in the country. You might need to ask a couple of good friends for coffee or for lunch. You might need to listen to music. Sing along with that music. You might need to go to a concert. You might need to sit at the kitchen table and write in a journal. You might need to build a fence or chop wood. You might need to do yoga or CrossFit. Well, I'm not sure. I take that back. That's probably never really that necessary. But that's kind of extreme. But whatever the case is, just do what your body needs to do. Your soul and your body, they're good friends. They like staying together. They're woven together. So keep them together. Tending to your body, whether your body is standing or sitting or laying or walking or running or dancing or eating, that will open you up to a wider range of praying and will invite more honesty in your prayers. Listen to this little encouragement from the book of James. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Then let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. These are the only three examples he gives, but right, this is not a finite list. He could have gone on and on. How are you feeling? Let your life express it. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you sick? What's going on with you? Let it come out. Let your prayers be honest, I think, is the point. You know, you'll notice from that reading that Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane wasn't one long prayer. It was three bursts of praying, interspersed with attempts to engage with his friends. And if we're going to learn to pray with honesty, those prayers will need to be salted with fellowship, with friendship. Some of us are so private about our desires, so ashamed of what we're facing and what we really want to pray, so individualistic in how we see our relationship with God, that we refuse to open ourselves in the depth of what we feel to our friends or to anyone else. We insist on carrying all of our own burdens around, refusing to let others share that work of burden carrying with us. Jesus didn't do that. There are others of us who are all friends all the time and little to no prayer. We're all social energy and very little solitude. We're so afraid of praying, so afraid of the quiet, so afraid of the silence, so unused to praying, so unwilling to face with honesty what's in us, and so unconfident that any of this would ever do any good that we lose ourselves completely in being with friends, being with others all the time. And yet Jesus lives in these balanced rhythms of reaching out to God and reaching out to his friends. He needs both, and he does both. Now, I do want you to look at what Jesus prays in these three different bursts of prayer. My Father, if it's possible, May this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. That's the first prayer. It goes away. They're sleeping, snoring, he's frustrated, comes back. The second prayer changes a little bit. This time, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away from me unless I drink it, then your will be done. Goes away, they're sleeping, he's still frustrated again, comes back. The third time, Matthew simply says he prayed the same way. Now, in that first hour of prayer for Jesus, he prays with raw honesty. May this cup be taken from me. He doesn't mess around. He doesn't waste his words. I don't want to drink this cup of suffering. He doesn't want to be arrested. He doesn't want to be tortured. He doesn't want to experience the terror of being nailed to a cross. He doesn't want to die. But even as he gives voice to this honest prayer, all that's housed within a larger trust in God. So when Jesus says, if it is possible, he recognizes that avoiding drinking this cup may not be possible. And then he follows that request to avoid the suffering with an expression of trust in God no matter what. Yet not as I will, not as I want it to go, but as you would have it go. That's the trust. Now, in that second prayer, something has shifted. The tone is different. Now he's beginning to realize that the cup of suffering will be his to drink. There's no driving around this. If it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, he begins. So he moves from a prayer to avoid the suffering to a prayer that begins receiving the suffering as part of his life. And now he's going to figure out what to do with the fact of facing that hardship and that suffering. In all 3 hours of his praying, all 3 attempts at prayer, he begins the prayer, "My Father." Don't miss that. He prays to God as if God is a devoted, faithful, and compassionate parent who always wants what's best for him. Jesus' prayer assumes that God is nearby, able and ready to offer the help that he needs. I hope that this, just by itself, will encourage us to pray with the same kind of confidence in God's ability and readiness to hear us as our loving parent. And notice, Jesus continues to call on God as a loving parent, even when his life has become a nightmare of terror and pain. In other words, Jesus doesn't interpret things going badly, the undoing of his own life. He doesn't interpret all that as a sign that God has abandoned him. He trusts in God's parental love, despite the fact that his prayers to avoid this cup of suffering could not be answered in the way he prayed them. Now, when we look at the way Jesus prays, we see one praying who is praying out of a deep honesty. He doesn't make demands of God. He doesn't try to strike bargains with God. Have you ever done that? God, I promise you, if you just get me out of this terrible situation, I'm going to become a new person. I'll give you 80% of my salary, go to church every day. Maybe you've done some of that stuff. Jesus doesn't do that. He stays awake to what he's feeling and to what he's experiencing. He stays awake to God's loving presence in his life, even in the midst of hardship. And he does this while his friends keep falling asleep on him. And so maybe his friends, if you want to see yourself in the story, it's a good place to put yourself. It's the friends who can't stay awake, right? There's a lot at stake. It'd be nice to be alert and awake and watch, but we keep falling asleep. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, Jesus says. His prayer in Gethsemane and the encouragement that we're reading from 1 Thessalonians 5 to pray all the time, these two things together, I think, this morning lead us to a deeper question. So we come back to this. What's the point of prayer? What's it for? Why are we praying? Why are we praying all the time? What's all this praying supposed to accomplish? Do we do it out of duty? In other words, we're told to pray, and doesn't sound great. I mean, seems a bother and a bit boring, but I'm told to do it. I mean, Scripture says do it. I'm part of this church community. We're all supposed to do it. I guess I'll do it. I'm trying to check the box every day. When we pray, are we trying to change God's mind about something, expecting God to magically intervene and fix everything that's wrong? No, that's not the way Jesus prayed. What if the point of praying is something like this, that we pray so that something new can happen in us? We pray so that something new and fresh can happen in us. Some new possibility can open on our own path. When Jesus teaches us to pray, this is a prayer we pray with the kids every week. He teaches us to begin, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Then what? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In other words, Jesus invites us to pray with a trust that God's plans to renew and restore all of creation, that that will happen, that that's going to happen, even though it hasn't quite happened yet. But if that's the case, if God's will be done, then why pray at all? Well, we pray because our entire lives are kind of a wonderful pregnant crisis moment. The crisis is this: do you want what God wants? There's a lifetime of prayer right there. Do you want what God wants? And can we be honest with ourselves about how difficult that question is? I ask that question giving you the complete freedom to say, not really, not usually. And if you're not saying that, you're not being honest yet, so you got some work to do. What God wants is to remake the whole world into a world of forgiveness and mercy and justice and love. And God wants to do that not all on God's own, but with your help as God's partners and God's friends. So that's why you're invited to pray all the time, because you're on this team. And God wants you in the game as friends and partners. Now, I fully admit that in these first couple of weeks of talking about prayer, we haven't touched on all the ways that prayer can be difficult, but we've at least made a start. Because prayer is an invitation to be honest, you are welcome to pray all that's in you. You don't have to trick yourself about what you feel. You don't have to pretend to feel something else when you pray before God. But the point of this praying isn't so that you can get what you want. Your prayers aren't an Amazon order with God promising you two-day delivery. And would you really, think about this, would you really want God to answer all your prayers in the way that you pray them? If you're like me, you're like a child who begs, begs, begs for the new toy at Christmas, but often when it comes, you don't play with it very long. Because over the course of a lifetime, what we think we want might not quite be what we want. So God gives us time to edit our prayers. And thank God, God doesn't answer every one of my prayers. Because I thought I wanted it, but I probably didn't. And it will take me a lifetime to figure out what I really, really want. So we're trying to learn together how we can pray all the time. But in order to do that, we'll need to learn to pray through all that comes our way. We'll need to learn to pray naturally and easily in every season of life. And Jesus models in this reading today how to pray in distress. But we also want to know how to let the river of prayer flow freely in our lives in times of loneliness and boredom, in times where the demands of caregiving for others or of work keep us running ragged for days and weeks on end. We want to learn to pray all the time, even in times of travel when we're away from home, in times when we're at home for long periods, in times of waking and going to bed, and all the times in between. And in all these times, remember, in your praying, you need not shout. You need only barely whisper. The one to whom we pray is also the Spirit, who is the river that flows within you. Amen.